Welcome to the Parental Development Podcast. I'm Leah.
And I'm Becca.
And we're two sisters, one with kids.
And one without. One with questions.
And one with answers. One who's a licensed psychologist.
And one who just wants everyone to hear what she has to say. We both have a heart to see parents succeed and kids thrive.
In this podcast, we'll be discussing a variety of topics, all with the goal of promoting conversation and learning. Thanks for joining us. Let's chat. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode. It is our 1 year anniversary. Whoop, 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 whoop. 1 whole year. That's real crazy if I think about it for too long.
I know it.
So we appreciate you all and love that you're here. I don't know if I thought it would last a whole year. I thought I might run out of stuff to say.
I knew you wouldn't run out of stuff to say.
So we talked about it a little bit last week, but as part of our 1 year celebration, we are partnering with the Soothing Snuggler, which is a teddy bear that we're going to tell you about, and we'll be doing a giveaway on social media, so watch out for that. That'll be going this week, and we'll have more information about all of that. So Becca's going to tell you a little bit about the Soothing Snuggler.
As Leah said, it's a teddy bear. Sometimes kids don't really know how to calm themselves down. We've talked about that quite a bit. You cannot self-regulate without co-regulating, and so this is the Soothing Snuggler is a talking teddy bear created by a clinical psychologist, shout out Erica, that teaches evidence-based self-soothing strategies. Learning to self-soothe is a developmental milestone just as important as crawling, walking, or talking. Children who learn to self-soothe are able to manage their mood independently, calm themselves when feeling distressed emotionally or physically, and often settle easier upon nighttime waking. Children who develop self-soothing skills grow up to be adolescents and adults with better social, emotional, and physical health, and are far more resilient when facing challenges. The Soothing Snuggler has self-soothe prompts in each of its hands and feet to coach and encourage children to practice labeling their emotions, talk out their experiences, and uses all five senses to focus on the present moment and to practice deep breathing. So, obviously, this could be a huge, helpful tool for your kids. So, thanks to Erica, we're giving two away.
Yeah.
Yeah, one on Facebook and one on Instagram. So, everyone come play.
Yeah, we're excited about that. Thank you, Erica. Okay, this week's What in the Week. I made it a What in the Week, but it really was a What in the Hell. Which are my favorites.
Did you make it in a What in the Week after the fact?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I think is my growth, right? Where right? I can realize in the moment, this is a What in the Hell. And yeah. How can I
right the ship. Right the ship.
And I'll tell you a moment where I really did recover, and I think you'll see it when I tell the story. So we are building a house. We are close to being done. We move in
Thank
in about
God.
4 weeks.
Yeah.
Praise Jesus, because nobody told me it was like a full-time job. I mean, I ain't actually doing the building, but it is like a full-time job. So, and we take the boys over there periodically to get them excited and let them see their rooms and all those things. So we were over there this past week. It had rained pretty good that day and maybe the day before. Super muddy at the new house. Right, because it's a construction site and there's no grass and it's disgusting.
Right.
So we got there. It was a fairly big day at the house. Like big things had happened to look at and like changes, which is very exciting. And so the boys always run around, want to show us stuff, go outside. There's a woods there. They just are kind of all over the place, which is kind of the point. But on this particular day, we saw Lincoln first out just off the front porch. And he was trying to step into the house, complete mud all over his Crocs, like mud. And I said, you cannot come in the house with your muddy Crocs. You have to take them out, leave them on the porch, I guess, which then isn't super safe because it's kind of a construction site. Inside, there's paper on the floor, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's walking around barefoot. And I said, was trying to say, like, you can't, you got to pay attention. you can't just like run around when it's muddy. We got to make sure Sawyer doesn't like come around the same direction. 10 minutes later, who do I see at the front door with equally, if not more, muddy Crocs? Sawyer. And so I was pissed. He had stepped in a little bit, and so there was mud on the floor, which is fine. There's paper down, and even if there wasn't, it's fine.
Right.
But I was mad. I was so mad. And there's no water there. There's no paper towels. Like, it's a damn construction site. There is nothing to, like, clean his Crocs in order to even get him home. Ben was trying to ask me, like, help him measure something. And I said, I'm leaving. See ya. And I got in my car, put the boys in the car. The Crocs were so muddy, I couldn't even set them down in the car because they were, like, caked with mud. And so I'm trying to drive holding these muddy Crocs, hoping that the mud does not fall. I had probably not been super kind to the boys. They clearly knew I was mad.
Mm-hmm.
Made them get their rear ends in the car and were driving away. This is what changed it from a what in the hell. Because at that point, I was so angry. Lincoln in the back said, this is all my fault. I should have told Sawyer. It was you told me to make sure he didn't go there, and I didn't tell him. This is all my fault. I shouldn't have done that. And I immediately thought, oh, crap. And again, right, we talked about Lincoln. I knew where this was going. He was so down on himself. And so I immediately like changed and was like, oh, shoot, this is so dumb. What I realized in that moment, I was mad because I wanted to like go through and see the house. I was excited and I felt like they ruined that for me. And I had to just leave Ben there trying to measure things by himself. That is ultimately what happened to me. I was mad that I felt like I couldn't enjoy that in the same way that I wanted to.
Right.
But anyway, I immediately shifted and I said, you listen to me right now. You are not responsible for your brother's behavior. He is not responsible for your behavior. It is fine if we learn from this and you say, or you think, I wish I had told him. I wish I had told him not to go there because it was muddy. That's fine. We can think about like what we wish we would have done differently. But him getting his feet muddy is not your responsibility. Period. And he was like, okay. And I said, I am sorry for how I spoke to you. I was frustrated. I think we all learned a lesson today. He goes, yeah, we'll never do that again. I said, yep. So that's all we can do. We can look back and say like things we wish we had done differently. We learned a lesson. Now you all realize we have to pay attention to the mud when we're there. And we're just going to move on and go past it. And he corrected pretty quickly too, which I was a little bit surprised by because he can he can sit there for a hot minute. But it was really bad. And then thankfully, like I said, that is my growth in that in the moment I can think, get yourself together. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It is mud and they are boys. Most of the time you tell them it's fine to play in the mud. So like, get it together. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And corrected and it was fine. Then we went home. Everybody had to take a bath because they had mud like up their legs. It was bad. It was bad. But we made it through. Corrected.
Rupture and repair.
That is correct.
Before we get started, can you tell everyone about your first week of school? Because I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I think it's funny.
I mean, shout out to all the moms there and parents or just people. First week of school is hard. It's hard on everybody. Sawyer made it 2 days without getting sick. So he went 2 days and then had to stay home on Friday because he was sick, which that's par for the course for him. Which part do you want me to tell? Lincoln's outfit?
Yes.
Oh. So probably not surprising to anyone. I am not the mom that like gets matching outfits for the first day or dresses them up. Or I do take pictures because I like to see the first day, last day, how they've grown. But I care zero what they wear to school the first day. And so if they don't care, I don't care. That's just no shame to the moms who do care. That is just not who I am. Okay. So Lincoln was dressed and ready to go. We were getting Sawyer dressed. And all of a sudden Lincoln said, I think I want to wear my suit, which I think we had gotten maybe for picture day last year. I can't remember. And I said, huh? Wear what? Now, what he didn't know was 3 days earlier, we're cleaning everything, right? Like we're going through everything mm-hmm. to move. And my sister Jo had taken that and was going to donate it for me because I said, he's never going to wear that again. Take that out of here. And so I thought like, oh, crap. So I tried to pepper like, buddy, I don't know. I don't know if we still have it. JoJo might have it, which she did. And so, okay, he wanted to wear a suit. It was 90 degrees that day. So I kept trying to say, like, you might get hot, but like, you can take the jacket off. So he put it on. It was like a button up. It was a short sleeve button up shirt with a suit coat.
And a pocket square.
He wanted to wear the tie, but the tie broke. So he couldn't wear a tie. Then he said, like, I really wish you had brought me one of my bow ties, Mom. I said, well, I did not know. I did not know we were going to go so deep into this. And so he was so proud of himself. And I said, buddy, you look so handsome. He said, I look like a junior businessman. And I said, yes, you do. He goes, well, minus the shorts and the Crocs. I look like a businessman. I said, that's right. And then I was telling other parents there at the school, and they were like, he's just ready for a Zoom meeting. Like, he's right. Just dressed like we've all been dressing. It's like business up top, sweatpants on the bottom.
If you got pants on at all.
That's right. And so he had a great day. He said he loved it. He thinks he might want to wear more bow ties throughout the year.
Okay.
But he was back to his Under Armour shorts and a t-shirt the next day. So it was short-lived, but he loved it. And the week was hard. This is the first time Lincoln has ever told me. He goes, Mom, I'm really kind of tired at night. I said, no way. Buddy, Bet you are. It's because you need to go to bed. So we survived. Sawyer is on the mend. We'll be back at it on Tuesday. So here we are. It was a good week.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. One other thing I also wanted to say, because I think this another thing that happened this week, and then we are going to have a topic, but something I was talking to Sawyer and something he said really made me think, like, this really illustrates how literal kids are and how important it is to both be mindful of what they see and hear and also be willing to like talk to them mm-hmm. through things and explain things a little bit differently. So Sawyer the other day, he was actually in the bathtub and he said, Mom, I do not want to turn 18. And I said, why, buddy? He said, because when you're 18, you have to be by yourself. And I said, and I literally had a dialogue internally with myself that heard me saying like, no, you don't. That's so silly. You can stay with me forever. But I said to him, where did you hear that? Like, why do you think that? He said, I saw it on Luck, the movie. Have you seen Luck? Mm-mm. It's a very cute movie, but if you haven't seen it, the main girl has been in foster care her whole life and in like mm-hmm. basically like an orphanage, and she ages out of the system. And so at 18, they put her in an apartment, like they leave her, right, on her own because she's a grown up and can fend for herself. Mm-hmm. He thought that's what happens when you turn 18, that people, like, you just, they leave you. They drop you in an apartment, take you there with your things, and leave you there. And you are by yourself always at 18. And so I thought, like, okay, let's talk through that a little bit. You remember how, like, she didn't have a family? And, like, so we talked through the whole things of, like, that's why she was alone. And I said, Betty, you can stay with me forever. Which is surprising for him because he's the one who tells me he'll be moving out when he's 12.
Right.
But I thought it was a good illustration of something that feels very benign and makes perfect sense to us as adults, like we understand all of the nuances of that, in a kid movie, made him nervous about turning 18 because he thought he had to be by himself. I just thought it was a good reminder mm-hmm. of they really are picking up everything, but can pick it up not quite right. Like they can pick it up just a little bit. It's literal. It's very literal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the importance of being able to have those conversations. I would have missed it had I just said, no, buddy, that's silly. I would have missed being able to actually explain in a way that might change his mind and why it's important to be mindful of the media and information and images and that kind of stuff they're taking in, because they are taking it in a very real way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. For the rest of today, we're going to talk about the only way I know to talk about it is like families of origin. So when we created this podcast, we call it a parenting podcast because that's the word our culture has identified. But really, it was important to us that we realize there are many, many people who parent, quote unquote, my children. And that you can parent and guide and nurture and care for children without being in a parenting role.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And I mean, Becca, you are not a parent yourself, but you help parent many kids. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I am a parent myself, but then I have Journey, my niece, who I also help parent, but she's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this has implications for all of us and the kids that we have relationships with. And so I just wanted to talk about it a little bit.
I support this conversation.
I bet you do.
Get on.
So the first thing important to know is that family of origin always has the most influence on a child's life. Always. Good, bad, and ugly. I've worked, you know, in my work over the last however many years, we will sometimes have kids that are involved in the system. Maybe they're delinquent even. And probably the clearest example of this is related to like drugs. And we'll have a kid that's smoking weed or doing drugs and they're on like probation or supervision for that. And everybody in the room is trying to say like, well, how do we get them to stop? This is unhealthy, la, la, la. And then we find out their parents are also doing drugs, sometimes doing drugs with them and all that. And I say regularly, we are not going to convince them that this is a bad idea if their parents are communicating to them that it's not. Mm-hmm. And so we got to find a different way. So again, that's a maybe slightly more negative example, but that is an example of how family of origin always trumps anything society or extra parents or any other adults that influence their lives. So I think this can get tricky then if you are, I don't know, co-parenting. I don't know what we call it, like helping parent.
Yeah.
Children, I'm going to use my niece in these examples again because she's not mine. She's about as close as you can get without being mine. And I've talked to my sister about this. So this is there's no judgment. I'm right. She's wrong. Mm-hmm. None of that. It is just they're good examples of how this plays out. So just because I am not their family of origin does not mean I can't have my own like boundaries and expectations at my house. Mm-hmm. I think we just have to be realistic about what those are going to look like. So two ways that my sister and I parent very differently is around food and sleep. So Journey, my niece, and my sister, they are grazers. So they like just graze all the time eating and rarely like Journey has a hard time like sitting down, eating a meal, finishing a meal, and then like going on and playing. That is not how we roll in my house. I don't want people carrying around food. I want to like do it, put it away, it's done, all that kind of stuff. And so that's hard because she comes to my house and will just get down from the table, wants to go play, comes back 5 minutes later, takes another bite, wants to go play.
Mm-hmm.
Dinner takes like 18 hours and I am not here for it. And you know who really is not here for it is Ben, my husband.
Yeah.
He is not having it. So I generally say to him, like, this is how she functions at her home. Like, we're not going to make big changes for her because she's here only a certain amount of time and the rest of her eating life is done at home. And this is how she does. So we've had to find a balance between that and having our own boundaries because it really does drive us both a little bonkers. So our boundaries, and we have taught her this, is that here, like, you can do what you want at home. That's your mom's, that's you and your mom. Here, we're not going to do that. So like, you have to finish your dinner. And when she'll say, can I get up and play? We will say, if you get up, we're putting your food away. Like, dinner will be over. And then you can have a snack before bed or whatever, but you're not going to get up and play and come back and play and come back. That's, no, we're not going to do that. She doesn't like it. It is hard to enforce because, right, I am also a big believer that if kids are hungry, we should feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't always do a great job, but we try to balance what makes us comfortable and is what our boundaries are for our home, and respecting the fact that she's a child and this is her routine and this is how she knows how to do this, and respecting that because she can't help that's just what she's used to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's real hard for sure. I think there is also a difference. And one thing, if you are like helping parent kids, is to have an understanding that there are difference between like logistical changes or differences and like things that help them feel safe or connected. Those things I see a little bit differently, and I wouldn't be able to change as easily. Sleep is one of the ways that I think manifests for me, because I think for children to be able to sleep, they generally have to feel like safe and calm and connected and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a difference in logistics and like felt safety. So for sleeping, my sister has always co-slept with Journey. Again, no judgment for all the co-sleepers out there. That is not something that we have ever done. Even when our kids were infants, they just were never in our bed.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that is not right. And other people are wrong. That is just a choice we made for lots of different reasons. But I have never slept with a child in a situation where I slept well ever in my life.
That's like sleeping with an alligator.
Correct.
And they're like,
yeah,
hot boxes. They like sweat.
Yep. So and they're hot. All over you. And it's just not for me.
Yeah.
As someone who just needs good sleep, or I am not a good person. And so it's just not something I have been interested in doing. But Journey has always slept with our sister. She starts in her bed. Sometimes it is 30 minutes. And she is in there ready to go. Again, if that is your choice, cool. But at our house, I like all my kids to sleep in their own beds. Mm-hmm. I am available. They can come get me. But I need to sleep by myself. I need to sleep in my own bed without children. This is real hard because that is how Journey has been trained to sleep, is with her mom, with her person, with someone that she knows is there and she feels comfortable with and all those things. And that is something that in our home, I'm not going to like, quote unquote, break her of that. I'm mm-hmm. not going to like change her with the one day a week she sleeps at my house. Like all of a sudden I'm going to make drastic changes for that. And I think I have to be a little more mindful and thoughtful about how I do that, different from how she eats. Does it make sense, like, why those are different?
Yeah.
Okay. So there are some nights where I do end up sleeping down there with her because she comes and gets me. So she will always go to sleep in her own bed, and then I sneak out. I lay with her until she goes to sleep, because I certainly would not be able to leave while she was asleep. That's not okay. And inevitably, she comes upstairs sometimes 2 hours later, 4 hours later, and will say, Dee Dee, why aren't you in bed with me? And I say, well, that's because I sleep up here, Jern. And she'll say, nope, come sleep with me. And so I do go down there. Now, depending on what time it is, usually determines whether or not I stay down there all night. Mm-hmm. So if she comes up like at 10, then I can stay awake long enough down there until she goes back to sleep. And then I sneak back upstairs because I want to sleep in my own bed
mm-hmm.
and not with her, because she is like an alligator. However, if she comes and gets me at like 2:30, I don't, I'm already asleep. And so I do sleep down there because I can't stay awake long enough to listen for her snoring to know I can come back upstairs. And so that is against, that's probably too strong of a word. That is not my normal boundaries in my house. Even at night when my boys come get me, I rarely, if ever, like sleep with them in their beds. And so this is not what I'm necessarily comfortable with for my own kids. But I do that with her because she is not mine. And I have to then take the lead of what her parents have created and developed as far as her routine and how she functions and that kind of stuff. Even if that might be kind of against what I would generally do or what the rest of the kids in my house do. Does all that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's hard as someone that, you know, will keep kids at my house from time to time. Like it's hard to know what do you give on and what do you flex with or what do you hard line? You know, does that make sense? Like it's,
I think so. And I think some of it probably depends on how often you have them, right? Or how integral or integrated in their life you are.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the kids that I know you have at your house sometimes, you are very integrated in their life and mm-hmm. home. And so in those instances, you may feel more like you have to hold the line that their parents would hold.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like if you see your nephew or your friend's kid and they come stay with you once a year, once a month.
Yeah.
It's like grandparents where I don't expect them to do anything I would do. I just expect them to keep them alive and have fun with them and love on them.
Right.
But some of that might change, right? Depending on, I would think, your relationship with their parents and how often this is happening.
Yeah.
Where you don't want to undermine their parents or create equally unhealthy habits at your house if it's happening over and over again. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then at some point, you know, we're all tempted to just, I mean, I would give Journey anything she asked for over mm-hmm. and above my own kids. If she came, I can tell my kids no problem. Her, I just want her to have everything.
Right.
It's so much easier to like, for me, it's so much easier to hold a boundary with my own kids than like her or other kids that I might be. And if I don't see them often enough, like my friends' kids, when I see them, they're lucky I don't live nearby. I'd give them anything. They could have anything.
Yeah.
And could do anything they wanted here. Because I only see them periodically.
Yeah. So the difference between that, like, so eating and or food and sleep, it does make sense to me, the differentiation between those two things, because you have to be in a certain state and mental place to even go to sleep.
Right.
Right. So I was thinking about that because when we were growing up, we always, always, always had to have music or a story on, it was a cassette tape.
That's right.
On when we went to sleep every single night.
Yep.
To this day, I have to have something on.
Same.
I will listen to an audiobook, a podcast. I don't really keep my TV on anymore, but I will listen to a book or a podcast or music when I go to sleep. And I always have had to have that. It's really hard for me when I don't. I can do it now because I'm an adult. And I was trying to think of an example or times when we were little and we would go stay at someone else's house and we did not have that.
Yeah.
And I remember, I mean, we eventually went to sleep. Do you remember that being like, anytime, like maybe I don't know if we stayed at grandma and grandpa's or if we were on vacation at somebody, you know, somewhere else and we didn't have our tape recorder with our cassette tape, not being able to go to sleep because that was something that, I mean, it was a blanket, really. It was like a soothing blanket. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah. And I don't remember, I mean, there probably were times where we spent the night at other people's houses or something and we didn't have it. I remember as we got older, we didn't travel and go on vacation a whole lot, but I remember once going, like we knew we were staying in a hotel, we brought our cassette player with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Specifically for sleep. Like you would take a sound machine now.
Yeah, that's true.
We brought it so we could have something to sleep. But I do think that's a good example because we could have gone to someone else's house and they would say, we don't do that here.
Yeah.
You can't have any noise. What is the purpose of that? If a kid says, but I need noise to go to sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're in a room with another kid that doesn't like, you know, that's very different. But if you're just like holding a line just for the hell of it of that's not a way I would parent, so I'm not going to give that to you. Mm-hmm. That feels just mean. That is like a power mm-hmm. trip as an adult of who the heck cares? You are not going to break a child of needing music to go to sleep mm-hmm. in the one or two nights that you have them. And you're really just, you're just punishing them. Like, that just feels gross to me. And there really is no reason other than you being on a power trip. And it's not that kid's fault that that's how they have learned to go to sleep. I mean, yeah. it's their parents' decision that they made. And so to yeah. punish a child like that. But that is, I think, what some extra parents, bonus parent, people who are just parenting kids who might not be in a parenting role or a parent role, I think that's what they do sometimes of like, no, because I disagree with what your parents are doing. So this is my line in the sand and you're not going to have that.
Yeah.
You're taking it out on the wrong person.
Yeah.
If you really feel that serious about it, your bone is with the parents. Yeah. Not this little kid that you're now taking right. it out on and making miserable for what? So you feel better about yourself? That yeah. just feels weird to me and I don't understand it. And if I have to think of like other, I don't know, other logistical things would be like technology, TV, tablets, right? Like lots of parents have different rules and expectations and ideas about that. And so kids do maybe get addicted and learn in different ways they do that. Bedtime is another one. I mean, if you think of all the different ways parents do things differently,
mm-hmm.
which is, I don't know, a bazillion different ideas,
mm-hmm.
then all of those things can change in any given household.
Yeah.
That then you would have to make a decision about how you do that.
Yeah. I think I was reading something in one of those gentle parenting Facebook groups, and there was her daughter was insistent upon taking a bath before bed every night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they were, she was going, that child was like transient between homes, and like at one home, she always takes a bath and then maybe at this time she doesn't. But like, that seems to be me like another thing. If you always take a bath, and I have friends that parent their kids that way, like that's the routine, right?
Yeah.
It, since they were infants, you take a bath before you go to bed, you know, all those things mom said, you sleep better and take yada, yada, yada. Off.
Yep.
Right. But it's a fairly simple thing. Yes, it's inconvenient. It takes a couple minutes to fill the tub up with water. They could splash and whatever. But if that's what they need to feel, honestly, to feel at home at your house, if yeah. they don't live at your house, I would think that you would go out of your way to make them feel at home and welcome and comfortable in your house. And if that means they got to take a bath before they go to bed, then that's what they got to do. But I just thought about that one because I think that's another like fairly simple thing
yeah.
that could be annoying in the moment, but take 10 minutes.
Well, and I think much like everything else we talk about, it is just the adults, I don't know, not having a good understanding of their motivations behind certain things. Of just stopping long enough to say, like, why do I even care about this? Is this my own power trip? Like, maybe no, I don't need my kids to take a bath every night. But if this kid wants to, who is going to tell a kid, like, no, you absolutely cannot take a bath?
Yeah.
I mean, most of us are like, if you can get my kid in the bath willingly, cool. You are a magician. Lincoln now can't understand why he needs to take a bath every other day. Like, he is like bargains oh, with us. about how sweaty he got and how that doesn't mean he should have to take one. So it again, it's just the adults like, I don't know. It just feels like a power trip to me.
Yeah.
Other than certain things that are just like, no, I don't want you walking around my house with food. That I don't think is a power trip for me. I don't think. I suppose someone could tell me that it is. But it's not that I'm not feeding her. It's mm-hmm. just some different parameters around how we do that. It's not necessarily that they can't have technology or screen time at all at my house. But no, I'm not leaving you in your room unsupervised with a tablet. That's a boundary in my home. I'm not doing mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So it's not all about like this either or thing and just wanting adults to understand it doesn't have to look exactly like you would want it, either for your own kids or what you just think in your mind is would be best for this child long term. You can do both, though. You can honor where they are, how they're parented, what their routine is, what they're used to, and still implement some boundaries and expectations and parameters that you are comfortable with within your own home. And it doesn't have to be so black and white with things.
As you were thinking about that, obviously, the ability to flex in different situations, right, different environments is a skill that I think could potentially be beginning to be taught in those scenarios, right? Like, yes, at your house, this is the way you do it, yada, yada, yada. We do things a little bit differently here while still giving grace and having compassion to flex a little bit when it may not look exactly like you normally do it. But like teaching kids that as you go from environment to environment, I mean, they do that at school, right? Every day. Yeah. Like you have to sit in a chair for 8 hours a day at school. You don't have to do that at home. But teaching them, or, you know, giving them the skills to be able to move from environment to environment and abide by different, you know, standards and rules and structure is, I think, a good thing. But at the same time, as adults, we craft our environment to be exactly the way we want it to be. Right. You know, I don't personally keep like candy and cookies and chips in my house because I have zero self-control and I'll eat all of them.
Yep.
So like I craft my house, the way that I live my life is exactly the way I want it.
Yep.
So to think that, you know, your boys come stay with me or somebody else, to think that they wouldn't walk into an environment where they're staying and want it to be exactly the way they want, that's unfair and unrealistic, as with a lot of things that we...
Right. Add it to the list.
Yeah. So it's not abnormal for them to come stay at your house and they want to be on their tablet, or they want to take a bath before they go to bed, or they want to watch a movie at 8:30 p.m. So stop putting unfair and unrealistic expectations on their kids that you yourself do not put on yourself.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to live my life and I'm going to structure my home the way that I want it. And a kid is the same way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I was just thinking about that while you were talking about that.
And I have to be honest, when you first said you need to be able to flex, I thought like your flex, like the new flex. Like not being flexible. Why would we need to flex on our kids? This is different. Being flexible.
That's so stupid.
Then I got, yes. I mean, I'm just too hip, Becca. I just hear it with right. The new lingo.
Oh, gosh.
At the same time, adults have to be flexible.
Yes.
Because if I try to impose a boundary on Journey, and I know her super well, so there's probably even a better example of like a kid that you really, you know, maybe you see once a month or every other week or whatever. And I try to implement something and I very quickly realize I made the wrong call. This kid cannot mm-hmm. operate within this boundary.
Yeah.
And then you want to be able to say, okay, let's reset. Let's talk about this. Let's undo this. And again, we've talked about how you do that in a way that isn't permissive. We don't move the boundary because they pitch a fit, but we can have a conversation to say, I missed the mark. I'm willing to change this boundary to be able to accommodate them because they're not mine, because mm-hmm. I don't make the rules for them all the time, only for this tiny little time that I have them. And mm-hmm. so it's about teaching all of us to be flexible, to say, I mean, for kids that aren't ours, when they're at our house, we just want to love on them. We want them to have a mm-hmm. good time. We want to keep them safe. All of the best parts. It's the best parts of being able to be around kids, because you don't have the junk associated with all the parenting stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And so being willing to like shift and move in that, I think ultimately is what any of us would want. We just, our stuff gets triggered, I believe, as adults. And then we think like, oh, no, you don't.
Yeah.
You're not going to tell me, which is never a good place to operate from, in my opinion.
Right. I agree with that. Okay. Well, I personally, as a non-biological parent.
Non-parenting parent.
Yeah. Found this conversation helpful. And I hope you have as well. I think we're going to wrap it up here for today. Don't forget to watch our Facebook and Instagram for the Soothing Snuggler. had to be careful because I called it the Slugger last week and I'm like, that is not right. Soothing snuggler giveaways in the coming days. A year has gone by super, super fast. So I can't believe, I mean, I can believe because I know you and I know how much you love to talk.
Oh, geez.
But I do appreciate everybody continuing to listen over the past 52 weeks of the podcast. So thank you. And we'll be back next week for 53. You're Thanks, welcome guys. In advance. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Parental Development. If you found this helpful at all, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you choose to stream. And if you have questions that you'd like answered on the show, email info@parentaldevelopment.com. We'd love to hear from you to know that someone else is actually listening.
And remember, we're all doing the best we can in this parenting thing, so survive the day and keep the kids alive. See you next time.